While the U.S. is on fire, our enemies are taking advantage of the chaos. That's coming up on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for being a part of the Hot Zone. Holy cow! The whole world seems to be going up in flames, especially here in the United States. There's something like 70 major cities around the country that are seeing protests in the form of riots taking place over this whole racial division and anger at the police and the killing of this unarmed black man in Minneapolis by a white cop. Now, let me just say a couple things about it. Really, first of all, everybody is denouncing what happened. There's nobody, I haven't seen anybody who's making excuses for this cop, who's not condemning the cop, from the police department in Minneapolis to the city leaders to President Trump, the left, the right, the center. Everybody is denouncing what happened, calling for this cop to be arrested and charged, and he has been arrested and charged very quickly, I might add. But yet, what we're seeing is massive riots. Now, how does it honor the memory of George Floyd to go around and essentially strengthen the stereotypes that quite possibly led to his death? I mean, when people see gangs of black youths attacking a police car and smashing the windows and setting the police car on fire, flipping the police car over, when they see them attacking policemen and women, assaulting them, throwing rocks, breaking windows, looting stores. Now, what's that gonna do the next time a policeman sees a gang of black youths walking down the street? Maybe not doing anything wrong, but with that kind of experience, with those images in his mind, what do you expect a police officer to do? How do you expect him to respond when he walks into a gang of black youths? They're strengthening the stereotype. They're not honoring the memory of this man. Okay. Now, the other problem with this is that you have to ask yourself, what is it exactly that these rioters want? They're not protesters, they're rioters. What is it exactly that they want? One person said that this is welfare without the middleman. They're just going and taking what they want rather than waiting for the government to send them a check. I don't believe that, but that's an interesting description. What exactly is it that they want? Do they want the police to just leave and leave their communities alone? These are high crime communities. We need more police there, not less. I mean, you take the police away from communities like that, what's it going to look like? It's going to look like Somalia. It's going to look like places where there's no police presence, like Somalia, like some of the no-go zones that I've been to in France and other places around the world, places where the gangs rule. Is that really what they want? The thing is, they are burning down the very institutions that are there, that are funded to provide protection for those people. I understand they're angry. They have every right to be angry. They have the right to be angry. And you wonder if their perception is not worse than the reality. And if our perception is not worse than the reality. What I mean is, when I walk down the street and it's, 10 o'clock at night, and there's a gang of black young men, military age males, coming at me down the street, and I look at that and I go, that doesn't look good. That looks kind of dicey, kind of dangerous. So I cross the street. Is my perception that way? Well, what's given me that perception? Is it all the images that I've seen on the television of gangs of black youths burning police cars and assaulting civilians, that sort of thing. But it's very likely that those guys don't mean me any harm at all. So my perception is way off there, and I'm applying that stereotype to them. Is that racism? I think it's survival instinct. In the same way, when those young black men see a police car rolling down the street, are they automatically going to have negative feelings towards that cop? Are they automatically going to feel like that cop is out to get them because of what they've seen and heard in the news, in the media, of all of these black men who have been killed by cops? When in reality, that cop probably is thinking nothing negative toward them at all. I think maybe we need to remember that the news exists to report the out of the ordinary, not the ordinary. What I mean is, when I see riots on the news in Philadelphia or in Pittsburgh, like I went to Pittsburgh today, when I see riots, them burning police cars and that sort of thing, since I haven't been to Pittsburgh, in my mind, that becomes the norm for me in Pittsburgh. When I think Pittsburgh, I think burning police cars. I think riots. Well, today I got in my car and I drove to Pittsburgh, and it was absolutely gorgeous. There were people pushing baby strollers down the street. There were people sunbathing in the park. It was amazing. It was beautiful. I saw a couple of stores that had windows broken out, and I saw one very interesting store that had written all over the windows, black owned business. Now, that conjures up memories of things like Kristallnacht, the German purge of Jewish businesses, where gangs of German youths went up and down the streets in Germany and busted out the shop windows of any store owned by a Jew. They had the marked. Well, now it's the other way around. Black-owned businesses are marking themselves and saying, we're owned by blacks, don't destroy our business. So they go down the street and they destroy the businesses that belong to whites. This is very dangerous territory. Because you have to ask yourself, the very people who are saying they want the cops out of there, that they don't want the cops anywhere near them, are the very people who are desperately going to need the police if they push people in the suburbs, if they push the redneck white people too far, and those people take up arms against them. I mean, this is not what we want. We do not want massacred civilians in our cities. But that is where we're headed. Because if I'm a shop owner and I've invested my entire life in this store, everything I own is invested in this store, and there's a big gang of rioters moving down the street, and they're smashing the windows out of white-owned businesses, and they're not smashing the windows of black-owned businesses, and I have the means to protect myself and my family, you better believe I'm going to. Then what's left but for the people to protect themselves? And that's when things get very, very violent, because the people protecting themselves are not going to have the kind of professionalism, the kind of restraint that the police are going to have going into those situations. This is very dangerous territory. Now, in the meantime, while we're focused on 70 plus cities across the United States burning, guess what? Our enemies are taking advantage of the chaos to move on their objectives. So what are we seeing? Iranian tankers full of gasoline moving into Venezuela to help prop up the Maduro regime. That's not a good thing. We're seeing the Chinese moving on their objectives in the South China Sea. We're seeing them, the Russians, trying to take advantage of the chaos. And, you know, if it would not surprise me if it comes out that they are actually helping foment the chaos by sicking their hackers on social media to try to gin up more anger, more violence in the United States. That is how they play. And we need to be thinking about what's going on outside our borders as we're getting very distracted by what's going on inside our borders. That's very important. Now, add to that, we've got plagues of locusts in Africa, in Pakistan, the Middle East. We've got floods in El Salvador. We've got fires. We've got, there was a huge firefight between two gangs in Kyiv in the Ukraine today. Just on and on and on. You almost have to ask yourself, what's next? Are we going to see aliens coming down out of the sky? Are we going to, I mean, holy cow, what is going on with the world? Well, I have to tell you, I'm very glad that I have faith that a sovereign God is still in control. And he is powerful enough even to take this chaos and bring something good out of it. Let's hope that the good he brings out of it is bringing us together with people of different races in our country. I went hiking today and a beautiful, beautiful day. And we went out hiking, and when we got up to the top out there at Cooper's Rock State Park, there were a group of Muslims and there were some black people out there with their dogs and with their families. And you know what? I went out of my way to smile at them and to be friendly to them and to say hello to them, because I want them to know that I've heard so many of my black friends now say, I can't go outside without being afraid that I'm going to get killed by a policeman. When I see a policeman pulling down the street, I get afraid. I start to shake. And I think, how sad is that? I don't want black people in this country to feel like their lives are in danger every time they go outside, because they're not. They're really not. Their perception might be that they're in danger, but I can promise you, they come into my neighborhood, they're not in any danger. The only way that anybody is in danger around me and my family is if they become a threat to me and my family. That's the only way. And they might not believe it, but if you went to Baltimore, or if you went to Minneapolis, or if you went to New York or Los Angeles and went into those inner cities and took 100 people out of those inner cities, 100 black people out of there that had never been out here to where we live in West Virginia, and you brought them here, they would be welcomed with open arms. They may not believe that, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. They'd be welcomed into our churches. They'd be welcomed into our homes. Why do I know that? Because we've done it. My wife ran into a whole busload of inner city kids from New York one time that came to West Virginia to teach a basketball camp. And what did she do? She invited them over for lunch. And they came to our farm for lunch. It was pretty funny, actually, because they'd never been out in the country. And all of a sudden, they're showing up and there's dogs running around. They're all afraid of the dogs. They're afraid of the crickets. They're afraid of everything. And they had never fired a gun. So I took them out there and let them shoot the shotgun and the pistol and everything on our range in the backyard. And they had a great time. And they were more than welcome. We loved it. And it makes me sad to think that if those people didn't have a chance to get to know me and we were just passing in the street, that they would feel afraid of being around people like me, or that I might feel afraid of being around people like them, because there's no need. We're all Americans. And as we come up this summer, we come up to Independence Day, I think that's what we need to be thinking about. We need to be remembering that America is open for everybody. As long as you're not a threat to your neighbors, then you have a safe place here. And you are welcome to all of the privilege that I'm privy to, that I have, that I was born into. That privilege you talk about, that culture that my forefathers built, the culture built on do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, guess what? You come into my neighborhood and I'm going to do to you the way I would like you to do to me. I'm going to follow that golden rule, because that's what our culture does. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is. You're welcome into my culture. So that's the hot zone for today, folks. I hope you'll take it to heart and share it with your friends. Thanks for being a part of it. I'm Chuck Holton. We'll see you later.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.